the slightest nod, hoping none of the others would notice.
"We'll do something," Kluger said. "Murghast's a big place. There are many rooms on the floors above us. As we don't know who'll be chosen to act as the demon's host next, those who are threatened will be confined, each in a separate room."
Rold took up the suggestion with evident excitement.
"I have been in the castle many times. Each of the bedchambers can be locked from the outside."
He adopted a contemptuous look.
"The Count was always suspicious of visitors and didn't want them wandering around at night."
"Then we'll make the use of those rooms," Kluger said.
He smiled apologetically at Magda.
"They are unlikely to be in readiness, but you'll forgive the discomfort."
Abraham scowled at the witch hunter.
"You do not mean to confine me."
Despite the melodic lilt in the elf's voice, there was a threat in his words. Kluger managed to surprise Abraham by lowering his right arm to display the pistol gripped in his left hand.
"That's exactly my intention, one way or another."
Lothar walked over to the elf.
"Be sensible," he advised. "We are not certain if you are still menaced by possession. Do as the witch hunter says."
Abraham's scowl deepened.
"It is an affront upon my dignity."
"If I'm going to confine my only daughter, then I do not want to hear about an elf's dignity," Rold snapped.
The remark brought Liebgarda to her feet. Shock was on her face.
"You can't mean to lock me away, Papa."
Hiltruda moved to comfort her child.
"Of course not, dear. No one is making you go anywhere."
She cast a challenging glare at Kluger.
"With deference to your rank, your ladyship," Kluger said, "Liebgarda will be confined, just like all the others."
Magda knew he was thinking of her when he added,
"None of us wants to consider where this fell spirit may strike next."
"Then I am going with her," Hiltruda declared. "I will not have my daughter left alone to the horrors of this castle."
Rold knelt beside the Baroness.
"Be sensible. What if Kluger's right and our daughter is the next?"
Hiltruda's eyes blazed like a raging fire.
"Von Wernhers do not turn into monsters. Liebgarda is a von Wernher. A von Wernher by blood, not marriage."
She swung around and returned her gaze to Kluger.
"If you insist on imprisoning my child, then I am going with her."
Kluger nodded.
"If that's your intention, know that I'll be incapable of protecting you."
He turned to the other guests.
"If any of you want to stay with your children, I'll not stop you, but I warn you, when the demon comes, you may be placing yourself right beside it."
Magda shivered. The demon would come. When it did, who would be next to feel its evil growing inside them? Birnger? Liebgarda? Heimo? Herlinda? Or would it be Magda Hausler? The room Birnger found himself in was spacious. Once it might have been described as opulent, but there was a patina of decay everywhere. The blackwood panelling was chipped and splintered from the attention of rats. There was a musty smell about the bedding, and the golden frame had lost its glitter beneath layers of dust. The flue in the fireplace was caked in soot, and smoke seemed reluctant to be drawn up into it. The sheet that covered the heavy chair near the room's narrow window had been there so long that when he went to pull it away, he stripped a layer of paint from the arms. Every instinct inside the thief told Birnger to rebel against his confinement. When Kluger was moving to lock the door, he felt an urge to rush the witch hunter. But these impulses to seek freedom were not strong enough to penetrate the despair that rumbled his brain. Bruno was dead. He had died to protect his son. Now it appeared his sacrifice might have been in vain.
"What do you think it feels like?" Birnger asked Kluger. "What'll it be like when the demon comes?"
Kluger paused at the door.
"Possession can be an insidious thing. It steals upon a person without their knowing, At first it's subtle, a strange thought, an alien idea. Then when the demon's essence gains a firmer hold, wild impulses will seize the host. Strange thoughts become stranger actions. The personality of the host is perverted by these influences. The more the soul strays from the usual custom, the more the demon twists it. Twists it until it breaks and there's nothing left.
Then it doesn't start with the physical change. Berger pointed to his eyes, reminding Kluger of Reiner's and Bronn's blood-filled orbs.
No. By the time there's a physical symptom, the demon has already taken hold.
Berger shook his head. That means it could already have chosen its next host.
He thumped his hand against his chest.
Even when my father was...
Even at the moment, the fiend might already have been inside me. Kluger did not mince his words. Possible, he agreed. The moment it left Bronn's flesh, it would have been seeking its next vessel. That's why all who are marked have to be confined. None of us knows who could be next.
The witch hunter glanced at the right wall, in the direction of the room where Magda was held. Berger saw something akin to panic in Kluger's eyes.
With a lesser demon, there are tests and trials that could reveal its presence from the first moment. The Mardag is not so easily exposed. It's amongst the Blood God's great demons and is not without its own profane protections. We are not helped that the fiend is more subtle than most that serve Khorne.
How do you mean?
Most of Khorne's demons expend themselves in reckless bloodshed and carnage. They're entities of the moment, immediate and terrible in their havoc. This one's different. It can be infernally patient and bide its time if it anticipates the opportunity for an even greater slaughter in the future. I think Ravensback is almost fortunate that Count Vorsieg restricted its attentions as he did.
Berger turned to the narrow window and looked at the lights of the town below the hill. What'll it do once it has done everything the Count summoned it to do?
That's a question I fear to consider, Kluger confessed. It uses its hosts, but it draws no energy from them. Those it kills are different. The life force of those killed by the demon will empower it, lend it a firmer presence in Chamon. If that power grows great enough, it may break free from the Count's designs. Should that happen, none will be safe. The chains Lothar speaks of would be utterly broken. It would be able to go where it liked, and butcher whoever it came upon.
I understand, Berger said. There's far more at risk here than just ourselves. You did the right thing to confine us. He shook his head.
If we're confined, then you'll be able to subdue the demon when it first tries to manifest, when it may still be weak. That's my intention, Kluger said. I'll keep watch in the hall outside. The Order of Azir has trained me to be sensitive to the presence of demons. When it begins to take control of its host, I'll know, and I'll be in position to act.
Kluger started to leave the room, but turned before closing the door.
The traps Alric showed you.
I've told you all I know about the way they operate and how to get past them, Berger said. I can explain them again if you need me to, though Baron von Wurnhor or Hartmann might know as much as I do at this point.
Yes, they were very attentive to your report, Kluger said, a grim smile flickering across his face. But it wasn't about the traps the Cogsmith told you about. It's the ones that could be deeper in the dungeon. The ones that are still unknown.
Berger thought he understood Kluger's problem, but he could see no way to help him. I only know about the first four rooms.
Indeed, Kluger said. But you'll forgive me. You're known to have some ability when it comes to getting around traps. Berger Volkenhorst's professional activities aren't unknown to me.
A delicate way to express it,
Berger bowed to the witch hunter. I have little time for delicacy. What I want to know is this. Do you think you saw enough in the mechanisms Ulrich did show you to figure out how the other ones might work?
Use the known to predict the unknown.
Berger gave it some thought. He could imagine Bruno looking down at him with disapproval, reproving him for his thievery. It's hard to work out how Edwardin's mind works. The key to bypassing any trap is knowing the designer's work, and I've seen several examples.
Give the problem your attention, Kluger said as he stepped into the hall and closed the door. Lives will depend on it.
Berger stared at the door for some time, Kluger's parting words echoing through his brain. It was an onerous responsibility the witch hunter had set upon his shoulders, one that had come to him too late. The life he would have saved was already lost. His own, he felt, didn't really matter. Creatures like Lothar, Hartman and Rold weren't people who would be missed. Ravensback would be better without them. Then Berger thought of Magda, and his cynicism faltered. She, at least, was someone he would help if he could. He owed it to her for the harm his father had inflicted on Ottokar. Yes, she was someone he would be willing to risk the dungeons for. Berger sat down on the edge of the musty bed and pondered Ulrich's mechanisms and whatever similarities they shared between them. Anything that might hint at what else the cogsmith had designed for Count Wolfsieg. Rold could hear bats creeping about in the canopy that covered the enormous bed. He was not sure which offended him more, that the chamber to which he'd withdrawn had been neglected to an appalling degree, or that even in such decay it was more magnificent than anything in his own home. The Baron pulled his coat tighter, trying to coax some more warmth from the garment. He cast a longing look at the cold hearth. He wanted dearly to light a fire, but he knew he couldn't take the risk. It was reckless enough to have a candle with him, but he wasn't going to wait in total darkness. He'd taken precautions so that the light was shielded from the door. He considered it doubtful that even Kluger would notice anything if he passed by. There was, of course, the chance that the witch hunter would spot Hartman, but that was a risk Rold was prepared to take. The fat coward would do his utmost to keep from being noticed, and if he was, well, he wouldn't have to feign fear to sell Kluger on his story about wanting to be close in case there was trouble. Rold regarded the weapons lying on the table beside the candle. He purloined them from the trophy room while Kluger was busy locking up the children. An ugly barbarian mace was his pick. Fashioned from the claw of some reptile, it would leave the sort of rending marks a demon would be expected to make. The crescent-shaped dagger was Hartman's. If the fool slashed wildly enough with it, he might make it look like the demon's work. It mattered little. Once the deed was done, he'd have no more use for Hartman. The sound of someone outside the room caused Rold to cover the candle. Every part of his being was alert and focused now, fixated on the door as it slowly opened. He breathed easier when he recognised the short, hefty outline of Hartman as he slipped into the room.
Kluger has been patrolling outside the bedrooms, Hartman whispered. I've been watching him, like you said.
Then why aren't you still watching him?
Rold snarled at his confederate.
We have to watch for our chance. At some point he's sure to visit the girl Magda. That is when we move.
The merchant grinned.
That's why I came to see you. We don't need to wait. Kluger's gone.
Rold took up the weapons and walked towards Hartman.
You're certain? How long's he been gone?
Only just now. It's better than you planned. He didn't go to see the woman. He went downstairs.
The information struck Rold as too good to be true.
Downstairs? Why would he stop patrolling?
He gave Hartman a stern look.
You're certain he didn't spot you?
Hartman nodded.
Positive. He never knew I was there. And I watched him from the landing, and he was headed to the parlour.
the merchant chuckled.
Maybe he required some liquid fortifying for his vigil.
Rold didn't think that likely. Witch hunters were abstemious to the point of aestheticism. Whatever had drawn Kluger to the parlour, it wouldn't be the Count's liquor cabinet.
Come along, the Baron ordered. We'll see. If he's gone downstairs, the opportunity is better than I hoped for.
The two men moved out into the darkened hallway. Each carried a candle, warding back the blackness, allowing them to pick their way down the corridor. Rold's ears were keyed to the slightest sound that might betray the witch hunter ascending the stairs. Every step he took, he half expected Kluger to emerge from one of the rooms to confront them. The first occupied room the men passed was where Thilo Krebs was confined. They could hear the alchemist's son pacing back and forth. Rold imagined it must be a hard thing to bear alone, wondering if at any moment you would lose yourself and become a monster.
Here, Hartmann whispered.
The next door was the room where the von Vernhors had been sequestered. To the last, Hiltruda had remained obstinate about not being separated from Liebgarde, so she'd been locked away with her. Rold stared at the door. He could picture his lovely daughter inside. She would be lying on the bed, her face red from weeping. Hiltruda would be trying to reassure her, though, of course, the Baroness was too dictatorial in her manner to put anyone at ease. One last chance to stop. Rold recognised that fact. He could turn back now, but for what? To wait until Liebgarde was possessed and the demon came for him? No. This was what made sense. If the demon couldn't manifest without a victim to hunt, then it certainly couldn't manifest without a host to possess. Without a word, Rold handed Hartmann the knife. The Baron looked down the hallway to the door of the room where the younger Senths were confined.
The Baroness? Hartmann asked.
Rold didn't hesitate to answer.
Both of them. Come now, Herr Senth. I'll have two lives to my account. That's only fair that you should have the same. You'll need to settle her first, then. Then Liebgarde. Make it quick.
He left the merchant and hurried down the corridor. Rold didn't look back until he was outside the room and had his hand on the key in the lock. Then he glanced over at Hartmann and nodded. They would enter the room simultaneously, lest some cry of warning arouse the other targets. Rold flung open the door and dashed into the room. It was brightly lit by the fire that crackled in the hearth. He saw Haimo turn from warming his hands before the flames. The youth had a bewildered look on his face when he saw the Baron. Only at the last moment did he spot the clawed mace in Rold's hands. Haimo threw up his arm to protect himself. Rold struck anyway, the reptilian claws ripping through his victim's flesh. Haimo stumbled as blood gushed from his torn arm. He fell to the floor and tried to scramble towards the wall. Rold pounced on him like a hunting sabre tusk. The barbaric mace smashed the man's head and slashed his scalp. He wilted under the blow, but Rold hit him again and again, bashing his skull until clumps of his brain clung to the Sauron claws. Certain his first victim was dead, Rold spun around to find the second. In his haste, he'd left the door open, a route of escape for Herlinda. Had she seized upon it? Instead, Haimo's sister sat on the bed in open-mouthed horror, completely paralysed by the brutal murder. Only when Rold came at her did she regain something of her senses. She threw herself from the bed and made a dash for the door, a frightened howl escaping her lips. There was only the one cry. Rold caught Herlinda's hair as she ran for the door. He pulled and dragged her back towards him. The instant she was in reach, he struck at her with the mace. The weapon smacked into her head with such savage force that the claws embedded themselves in her skull. She crumpled to her knees. A garbled moan left her mouth before she pitched face first to the floor. Rold tried to tug the mace free, but it was caught fast. He didn't make a second attempt. He was eager to be gone from this den of murder. Retreating back into the hall, Rold could hear fists pounding against the doors to the locked rooms. The others had heard the sounds of violence, but so long as they hadn't carried downstairs, there was still time to achieve his purpose. The Baron ignored the prisoners and rushed to the door Hartmann had opened.
Hiltruda?
Rold muttered, shocked when he saw the Baroness appear in the doorway. She was a horrible sight, her lavish gown drenched in blood. Her neck was deeply gashed, as were her arm and bosom. There was a glazed look in her eyes, for which Rold was grateful. Even as the woman was dying, he was afraid of her. Hiltruda groped blindly for the wall as she came into the corridor, using it to steady herself. She tried to speak, but all that came from her mouth was a bubble of blood. Though he'd conceived the plot, Rold felt disgusted. Hartmann, in his panic, had proven to be a butcher. The Baron backed away from the door. He didn't want to see Liebgarde in such a state. Hartmann abruptly raced into the hall. The merchant's face was so pallid it might have been sculpted from alabaster. His clothes were even more drenched with blood than Hiltruda's. He held the dagger in both hands, clasping it close to his breast as though it were a holy icon. The look in his eyes was one of abject terror.
Baron, your daughter.
Hartmann tried to run past Rold. The Baron had just caught hold of the man when he heard slow footsteps moving through the room Hartmann had fled. Rold froze in the hallway. A horrible, familiar, charnel reek smashed into his senses. It was the smell of carnage far greater than that which he'd just perpetrated. The murderous scent of the demon.
"We're too late," Hartmann cried. "She's possessed."
It was all Rold could do to pry the dagger from his hands. He tightened his hold on the merchant before risking a look into the room. At once he leapt back. Less than a foot away was the advancing figure of Liebgarde, or at least something that had been Liebgarde. His daughter's face was contorted into a visage of blood-crazed depravity, her eyes dripping pits of crimson gore. Most awful of all, though, was the unnatural growth. Her body was stretched, her clothes taut against the elongated bones. In places the skin was cracked and split, unable to restrain the ghastly metamorphosis.
"Run!"
Rold hissed at Hartmann. He pushed the merchant ahead of him as they fled down the corridor. The Baron risked a glance over his shoulder. Some life must have yet lingered in Hiltruda, because Liebgarde had stopped just outside the door to mutilate her mother with fingers that were swiftly becoming talons. Of all the horrors that shuddered through his brain, the most terrifying were the words Hartmann had used. It was too late. Liebgarde was possessed. That meant that when she was finished with Hiltruda, she would come looking for her father. Kluger was aware that he was being watched when he left the hallway and started downstairs. Hartmann was keeping tabs on him. That meant Baron von Wernhor was somewhere nearby. The two had been thick as thieves since returning from the dungeon. He didn't know what they were planning. At the moment, he didn't care. The witch hunter walked the desolate halls. Candles lit the path between the stairs and the parlour, but their light did little to offset the grim atmosphere that haunted Murgast's passageways. To Kluger, it felt like stealing through a mausoleum. The castle had no part with the living. It was a place for the dead. Sigmar's justice could defy even the hand of death. Kluger had seen with his own eyes the immortal Stormcast Eternals, divine warriors reborn to serve the God-King, cheating Nagash, even as the great necromancer reached out to claim them. Yes, the power of Sigmar was absolute if the cause was just. If the cause was just. It had been Kluger's lot to do many terrible things as a witch hunter, but always he had felt justified. He did what he did because he did so in the name of Sigmar, to protect the innocent and stamp out the seeds of corruption. He had deliberated on his choices and executed them without bias. The judgment of holy books and sacred teachings informed his actions. Never had selfish interest played a role. Not until now. Kluger saw the parlour door ahead. He lingered outside for a time, listening for any sound from within. He expected to hear voices. Lothar and his wife Saskia should be inside, along with Inga Hausler. Strain his ears as he could, he caught no sound. Briefly, he considered turning back from his purpose. Then he heard footsteps inside the room. Someone was walking towards the door. Inga stepped out into the hall, peering down the corridor in the other direction. She waited a few moments, then turned to go back inside. When she did, she spotted Kluger and jumped back in surprise.
"You startled me," she said.
"That's the hallmark of a witch hunter," Kluger replied. "But in this case, I was only able to do so because you were preoccupied." Inga nodded.
"I was looking for Herr Krebs and his wife. He wanted to investigate Count Wolfsieg's library and took Saskia with him."
"Then they're not here?" Kluger asked. "What about Baron von Wernhur and Herr Senf?"
"They're gone too," Inga said. "I don't know where."
Kluger nodded. "You're alone. That would explain your nervousness. Murgast isn't the sort of place one should be alone in."
A bit of fire blazed in Inga's eyes. "Yet you saw fit to lock Magda away by herself. Shouldn't you be up there watching the rooms, waiting to see who will be next?"
"It's because of Magda that I came down here to see you."
Kluger removed his hat and held it towards the door.
"What we have to discuss is private. If you would join me in the parlour..."
Kluger waited for Inga to precede him. As she walked past, his fingers worked at the lining of his hat, tearing at the felt. Inga went towards the fireplace. "I know you have feelings for my daughter," she said. "I haven't approved of you. I wanted better for Magda, someone who doesn't lead such a dangerous life, someone who would always be there for her. Now all I care about is someone who can just get her out of here. If you can do that, she's yours, with my blessing." Kluger stared at Inga's back. He finished plucking the thin cord from under the felt. He wound it between his fingers, feeding it from hand to hand.
"I'll need more than your blessing to save Magda."
Kluger caught Inga just as she turned towards him. He got the garrote around her neck and twisted it tight. The woman fought, kicking at him, trying to grasp the cord and pull it away. Fitful gasps rattled up from her throat. She wheezed and coughed as her body tried to draw air into her lungs. Grimly, Kluger maintained the strangling grip. He kept one eye on the door, watching for any of the others to appear. Every second he was left alone with Inga felt like a gift from Sigmar, an endorsement of the desperate lengths he'd been driven to. Inga's struggles grew less violent as the strength was choked out of her. Though her face was contorted into a grimace of agony, Kluger thought he saw understanding in her eyes. It was instinct that made her fight him. In her mind and in her soul, she knew why this had to be, why this had to happen. Kluger was placing all his hopes in the death of Magda's mother, just as Bruno had placed his faith in his own death.
"I'll get Magda out of here," Kluger told Inga as a ghastly rattle sounded deep in her throat.
Her face had taken on a purplish hue. Her eyes rolled back, exposing the whites.
"I'll do whatever it takes to save her," Kluger vowed.
It took him a moment to realise he was making his promise to a corpse.
Chapter 9. Roald hurried through the dark halls of Murgast, his pounding feet sending ghostly echoes through the castle. Each turn was met with a feeling of utter dread. He expected to see the thing that had been his daughter waiting for him, its eyes spilling blood down her cheeks, its claws stretched out to rend the flesh from his bones.
"Faster, damn you!" Roald snarled at Hartmann.
If Liebgarde was waiting for him, keeping the merchant in front would at least provide some kind of warning.
Hartman's steps sounded like the thunderous drive of a charging Trogoth in the empty corridor. The merchant's back was drenched in sweat, his breath a ragged wheeze. Terror kept him going, forced him beyond the limits of his stamina. Rold was thankful for the man's blind panic. If he took only a moment to think things through, he'd know Liebgarde wasn't after him. Rold was the only prey she was hunting. How long would Liebgarde linger over Hiltruda? How soon before she wearied of mutilating the dying Baroness? However long, it couldn't be time enough for Rold. Liebgarde might even make Hiltruda's death quick so that she could pursue other prey.
"The trophy room!"
Rold cried out when he saw the doorway ahead. Hartman turned and ran for the room. The Baron let him get a few steps ahead. He watched when Hartman ducked into the chamber and waited to hear the merchant cry out. When no scream carried back to him, Rold decided it was safe. Thick shadows hung about the chamber, throwing the suits of armour and display stands into darkness. A few candles had been left burning to either side of the hidden door and the route down to the dungeon. Hartman stood in the little circle of light, doubled over with his hands on his knees. Rold could hear him gasping for breath, his panic no longer allowing him to ignore the limits of his flabby stamina. It was actually a good thing, Rold thought. While haste was certainly to be desired, for what lay ahead, caution would be even more vital. The less risk there was of Hartman plunging onwards in unreasoning fright, the better it would be for the Baron. Rold gave a last look back into the hallway. He strained his ears. A faint sound reached him. Was it the patter of rats, or was it something else? Skeletal feet creeping through the castle. A demon seeking the prey promised to it by a madman. The Baron strode quickly through the trophy room to join Hartman. He paused only once, stopping before a rack of old spears. He removed two of them and held them under his arm as he continued towards the secret door.
"We need to be going," he said.
His face flushed with his recent exertions. The merchant shook his head.
I'm all done in. I have to rest."
Rold glared at Hartman.
"You'll rest forever if you don't get moving. That monster must already be on my trail. We have to get out of the castle if we're to have any chance at all."
He laid his hand on the merchant's shoulder and urged him towards the tunnel. Hartman nodded and started down the little passageway. Light flickered in the cellar below. The room looked just as it had when Rold last gazed upon it. His eyes strayed to the first room of the dungeons. The grisly image of Bruno, impaled upon the spiked ceiling, rose unbidden to his mind. The same image must have occurred to Hartman. He turned back towards Rold. The fat man was shaking, a sick look on his face.
"I can't. But I can't go in there."
"It's the only way out," Rold said.
He took one of the spears and cracked it against the wall. After two tries, he splintered the heft. A third blow expanded the damage enough that he was able to snap off the spearhead by jabbing it against the floor.
"Here," he said, and handed Hartman what remained of the pole. "You can use this to probe your way forwards."
Hartman clutched the pole in a desperate grip, but from the way he looked at it, the thing might have been a deadly viper. He took a step back.
You want me to go fast?"
"If you get in trouble, I can help you that way," Rold said.
A light of awareness flashed in Hartman's eyes. His face contorted into a suspicious leer. Rold appreciated that he'd overplayed his hand. The merchant was only a half-credulous fool.
"You'd leave me. If there's trouble, you won't risk your neck for mine."
The suspicion gave way to realisation.
"You said the demon is on my trail, not on our trail. It isn't after me. It's only after you. You killed Herlinda and Hymo. There's no link from me back to the demon now."
Cold fury roared through every corner of Rold's being. He pointed the remaining spear at Hartman, its sharp tip prodding his belly.
If you held to your part of the bargain, there'd be no link between myself and the demon either. But you didn't, Herr Senf. And now you're going to make amends. You're going to help me get through the dungeon. I know I can trust you to do your best, because both our lives will be at stake.
Sweat poured down Hartman's brow.
I won't, he insisted.
He threw down the pole.
You can't force me to do it.
Can't I?
Rold drove the tip of the spear so that it cut into Hartman's skin and drew blood.
You'll do everything I tell you to do, or I'll skewer you like a pig. Pick up that pole.
Rold stepped back while Hartman leaned over to retrieve the pole. He found himself near the tunnel to the trophy room. Again there came that slow, furtive sound of footsteps. Was it his imagination? He couldn't take that chance.
Get going!
Rold snapped. He prodded the merchant forwards. Hartman stopped moving when he saw the bloodstains on the floor in the first room, fed by the drops falling from the ceiling. The Baron poked him in the back with the spear.
Mind your step, and don't even think of using that pole. You might need it later, but if I see you with so much dip towards those tiles, it'll be the last thing you do.
Hartman kept the pole level as he walked across the room. He kept his head down, eyes fixed on the tiles. Such was his wariness of a wrong step that he paused each time he set his foot down, as though waiting for the spikes to come slamming down on their heads. Rold bristled at the exaggerated care and the delay it caused. He kept looking back and wondering if he really could hear something in the secret passage. Either way, he wished Hartman would move faster. After what felt like an eternity, Hartman was across the first room. Rold was quick to join him on the causeway between the Count's death traps.
Remember what Berger said about the next room, Rold said. Keep to the centre, where your weight can be supported. If you try to walk across, you'll be knocked into the walls and cooked.
There was no need to remind Hartman of what they faced. He crawled across the centre of the copper floor, where the hidden beam provided support. If anything, his progress was more agonising than it had been in the first room, but Rold knew he couldn't hurry the merchant. He still needed Hartman to clear the way. They both knew how the first four rooms functioned. Anything after that would be a mystery. But with Hartman going ahead of him, Rold would have a chance to see at least a fifth room in operation before having to make his way through it. The two men had their boots off when they reached the room with the pendulum. Rold had to remind Hartman to keep his mouth shut when the merchant saw the bisected corpses of Ulrich and Goswin. What had been Brond was only a shapeless heap of meat and bone now, corrupted even in death by the infernal touch of the Mardag. Wearily, the two men slid their feet across the floor. Rold kept looking towards the roof, expecting at any moment that some stray sound would provoke the pendulum into action. He listened for the noise of its mechanism grinding into murderous life. It was a different sound that reached him, however, faint and still distant. It was that of someone stepping out onto the copper floor in the chamber the men had just left. Rold could not hide from the ghastly truth. Liebgarde was pursuing him, and she was now close on his heels. The fourth room, the last of which Rold knew the secret, Hartman stuffed his feet into his boots and set off across the acidic floor. Smoke boiled off the soles, but the merchant didn't delay. Any doubt that the sounds he heard were real left Rold. Hartman's haste could only mean that he also heard them and knew Liebgarde was close behind.
Slow down! Rold barked.
He pulled on his own boots and started out into the chamber. The merchant was a third of the way across and rapidly putting distance between them.
But the demon's after you, not me, Hartman shrieked back. When it catches you, leave me alone. I could go back. I won't have to risk these traps.
The mocking words had Rold seeing red. Before he fully appreciated what he was doing, he lifted the spear and cast it at Hartman. It was a sloppy throw, just enough to graze the fat merchant's side. But even that slight contact caused the graceless man to lose his balance. A scream of horror was ripped from Hartman as he slammed down onto the floor. Smoke erupted from the merchant's entire left side. He jerked back to his feet, but it was too late. Some of the floor's oily sheen clung to his skin, burning into his flesh. There was no blood, only a greasy vapour that bubbled off Hartman as the acid ravenously bit into him. He lost all reason, all sense of direction. In his agonies, he staggered around, no longer striking for the landing at the other end of the chamber. The foul, charnel reek that hit the Baron's nose caused him to turn. He couldn't hear the sound of a footfall over Hartman's agonised screams, but he knew what he would see. When he spun round, the Baron's heart felt like a lump of ice in his chest. Standing on the landing that connected the third and fourth rooms was the thing that had consumed his daughter. A few scraps of clothing and wisps of hair were all that were recognisable now as belonging to Liebgarde. Her body had elongated into a giant skeletal figure, blood dripping from the split and shredded flesh. The demon's grinning skull stared at Roald, its teeth stretched into wolfish fangs. The pools of gore that bubbled in its eye sockets blazed with murderous intensity. The demon would relish destroying him and sending his soul to the hellish kingdom of Khorne. The Baron raced for the far side of the chamber. He dodged Hartman as the pain-crazed man lunged for him. Each step sent a shudder through Roald's body, terror making his veins feel as though they were chilled to freezing. His breath came in desperate gasps that never seemed to fill his lungs, his vision blurred, causing him to sway as he hurried for the landing. Roald threw himself onto the safe causeway. He couldn't believe he'd escaped. It seemed utterly impossible. He'd survived. Then Roald turned his head. He looked back into the trapped room with its acid-glazed floor. The demon was moving across it with long, steady strides. It paid no notice to the smoke that boiled off its feet or the way the acid devoured its toes. The fiend kept its hideous gaze upon the Baron, indifferent to all else that occurred around it. Hartman, insane with pain, actually turned towards the Mardag and reached out to the demon. There was no succour to be had. A long, bony hand closed around the merchant's head. A twist of the demon's wrist and Hartman's screams were silenced. His head went rolling across the floor, the acid eating away at his face and scalp. The decapitated body simply slumped down onto its knees like some warrior priest at his prayers. Roald turned to flee again, but his eyes caught an object lying just a little distance from the ledge. It was the pole Hartman had been carrying. When the spear had struck him, the merchant had flung the pole across the chamber. Now it lay within easy reach of the Baron. Roald took two steps out onto the glazed floor and snatched up the pole. He used his glove to wipe away the glaze, then threw the smoking garment at the approaching demon. It struck the monster high in the chest and remained there, sizzling against its taunted flesh. Roald knew the demon wouldn't be stopped. His only chance was to plunge ahead. He'd use the pole just as he would have had Hartman do, probing ahead, trying to trigger whatever fiendish mechanism Ulrich had built. It was too much to hope that when he turned the corner on the landing, he'd see the door leading out of Murgast's dungeons. Instead, he found a wide corridor with another landing at its far end. Another of the cogsmith's traps. Roald stopped and studied the room. The walls, ceiling and floor were all made of iron, apparently as solid as the battlements of Murgast itself. He tightened his grip on the pole and held it out. Roald remained on the landing as he probed the walls of the room ahead. They felt firm under his examination, with no suggestion of heat or acid or any other deadly instrument. He quickly jabbed at the floor and found it likewise solid. He turned his attention to the ceiling and wondered if the menace lay there. As he lifted the pole to check, the wall suddenly crashed inwards. The pole shattered under the crushing impact. Roald jumped back, with the wooden stump clenched in his hands. His eyes were wide with horror, mashed into a paste between moving walls. Such was the fiendish trap Ulrich had prepared here. Knowing the nature of the trap wasn't enough. Roald had to discover the method that activated it if he was to pass through. He watched as the walls slid back into their former positions, but he could see no hint of what had triggered them. Before he ventured onwards, he had to learn. Before his time ran out, Roald turned around as he heard a scraping sound behind him. He stared in mute horror as the Mardag hefted itself around the corner. The demon's feet had been utterly dissolved by the acid glaze, leaving only the leg bones. It supported itself by using its clawed hands to push itself along the walls. The fiend's bloody eyes bore down upon the Baron. Time had already run out. Roald started to rush into the trapped room, but the memory of those crushing walls made him hesitate. In that instant, the demon threw itself upon him, its skeletal mass crushing him to the floor. He saw the fanged skull leering down at him. Then the Mardag opened its hideous jaws and sank its teeth into Roald's chest. The Baron screamed, but his cries did nothing to interrupt the demon's feast. Kluger carefully laid Inga's body down on the floor and glanced up at the ceiling. The spikes behind the panel would hide the body for him. Even if it were to be discovered, everyone would believe she'd died trying to escape through the dungeons. That, certainly, was what he needed Magda to believe. The witch hunter stood on the landing between the first and second rooms. He used a candelabra to activate one of the tiles, tossing the heavy iron implement so that it struck one of the triggers. The phony panel whipped back and the spiked roof slammed down. The points stabbed into Inga's dead flesh, impaling the corpse. Kluger could see the bodies of Bruno and several servants already stuck on the spikes, their faces contorted in the grisly agonies of their deaths. As he looked upon the bodies, a weird impression came to Kluger. It seemed to him that he could actually hear those tortured cries. When the roof withdrew and carried Inga with it behind the fake ceiling, the sound persisted. Kluger strained his ears and tried to figure out the source of the strange phenomenon. It was then that his gaze chanced upon the floor. There was so much blood in the first room that Kluger had failed to notice them. But here there was no distraction from the oversized bloody footprints. The demon had been here. Not in the still recognizable shape of Brond, but in its full and monstrous aspect. Kluger attended the faint sounds more keenly now. Anguished howls, faint to his ears, but with the way the trapped halls baffled the noise, they must be strident enough to carry any distance. Someone was being killed. Perhaps it was the demon's work. The pistols Kluger carried were blessed by Grand Lector Sigharde. They had served him well throughout the years. The shot they were loaded with was forged from Sigmarite, the holy metal from Azir, with which the arms and armour of the mighty Stormcasts themselves were forged. Each pellet was etched with a prayer on its tiny surface, an appeal to draw the God King's judgment upon all the foul minions of darkness. The silvered sword he bore was likewise branded with sacred maledictions, orisons of wrath against the creatures of chaos, weapons designed to give a mere mortal the ability to fight back against eternal evil. If his heart were pure and his faith were true, Kluger thought about the woman he'd murdered, and his motive for doing so. How pure was his heart? How true was his faith? Questions that would be answered soon enough. If the demon was here, Kluger would try to stop it. Vanquishing the fiend was the only way to be certain of saving Magda. The witch hunter kept a pistol in each hand as he crossed the second room. He moved in perfect silence through the third, braced for the cleaving sweep of the pendulum. Kluger looked over the residue of what had once been Brond and considered the ghastly essence of the demon. The Mardag utterly consumed its hosts. He could not let such a fate befall Magda. The third room, and now the screams were louder than before. He could see a body smoking on the acid-glazed floor. From its bulk, Kluger knew the corpse was that of Hardman. He could guess then whose screams he was listening to from up ahead. Baron von Wernhor had tried to escape the demon by finding the dungeon exit. Instead, the demon found him. Kluger sprinted across the acidic floor, disdainful of the threat to himself. He was intent only upon confronting the demon before it accomplished its murderous task and its spirit withdrew to another host. When he smelled the obscene charnel reek, he knew the fiend was near. Such a stench could only come from one of Korn's demons. Upon the landing at the other side of the fourth room, Kluger found the ghastly scene. The Mardag, its shape now that of a monstrous skeleton, was sprawled across Roald's screaming, blood-soaked body. The fiend's fangs chewed into the Baron's chest, stripping gory ribbons from the man. Kluger could see the white of bone showing through the dripping meat.
"Sigma, guide my hand," he prayed as he aimed his pistols at the demon.
The weapons barked almost simultaneously. The first shot hit the monster's shoulder and exploded it into bony fragments. The second smashed into the fanged skull, punching through the cranium and blasting a hole that removed its nasal cavity and the centre of its upper jaw. The Mardag turned and stared at Kluger with its horrible, bloody eyes. Never had the witch hunter felt such malignance before, not from man or undead, not even from those demons he had battled in the past. There was an eternity of hate in the creature's gaze, an infinite sea of carnage. The Mardag was the embodiment of death, not the inevitable, regimented demise that must come to all things, rather the sudden slaughter and the bloodthirsty havoc of a primal savagery, the oldest of all emotions, the sin that smouldered in the lowest reptile, the urge to destroy. Kluger dropped one pistol and drew his silvered sword. The Mardag swung at him with its clawed hands, the talons raking through the air only inches from his face. He retaliated, his blade licking across the fiend's fingers. Three of the talons were severed by the blow, a greasy red stem spraying from the wound. The demon glared at Kluger. Then it brought its other hand stabbing down into the screaming ruin on which it sprawled. The scream stopped as it crushed Roald's heart. Kluger didn't bother to attack as the skeletal demon began to disintegrate and collapse into a sort of grisly mash he'd passed in the pendulum room. The Mardag's essence was already in transition, leaping from this body into that of its next. He could accomplish nothing here now. Kluger recovered his pistol and picked his way back through the dungeon. He was still shaken by the enormity of the power he'd sensed in the demon. Had he truly harmed it in any way, or had it simply been testing him to see if there was any hurt he could do it? There was one point in the witch hunter's favour. He was convinced now that the Mardag was drawn to those who had a link between host and victim. He'd recognised the tattered clothes hanging from the demon as those worn by Liebgarde, and the victim had certainly been Roald. With Hartmann dead, that meant that there was no victim to connect Magda, Birnga, Eberarm, and the Senths. That meant its next could only be Thilo Krebs. It would not be murder, Kluger told himself as he ran through the trophy room and back into the castle's gloomy halls. It would be an execution. Thilo's life against those of his parents, two for one, and perhaps more. He'd be able to put to the test whether breaking the chain would also sever the arcane connection that allowed the Mardag entry into Chamon. It was something that had to be proven. Kluger dashed up the stairs towards the bedchambers. He could hear Magda banging her fist against the door to her room. She was in a panic, but the thick door muffled her voice so he couldn't make out the words. He could hear Birnga also pounding against the door. Thilo's and the elf's rooms were quiet. So too were those of the Senths and von Wernhors. He could see that the door to each was open. A hideously mauled body lay in the hall just outside the von Wernhor room. That, he judged, would be the Baroness. He was more surprised when he looked into the other room and found Herlinda and Heimo dead. A sickening scheme suggested itself now. Kluger understood why Roald and Hartmann had been in the dungeon. They'd conspired to perpetrate the reverse of the plan Kluger had adopted. They would save themselves by killing their children. Only the plot had been too late. The demon had already possessed Liebgarde. Kluger turned from the scene of filicide. He checked the charge in his pistol and moved towards the door to Thilo's room. His gaze strayed down the hall to Magda's. Any hesitance left him. He'd already come too far to stop now. He turned the key in the lock and threw open the door. His pistol swept across the room as he looked around for the man he'd come to kill. At least, help me if Thilo is still human enough to kill. There was only silence. No cry of surprise from Thilo, no yell for help. The reason was simple. Thilo wasn't in his room. Kluger made a quick search, but there was no sign of him. Somebody had released the alchemist's son, or else the demon had found some way of releasing its new host. Kluger hurried back into the hall. He dashed across to Berger's room and unlocked the door. The thief backed away when he saw the drawn pistol, alarm in his eyes.
Come along, Kluger said.
What's happening out there? Berger demanded. I heard screams, the most awful screams.
The witch hunter scrutinised Berger's expression.
Did you hear anything after the screams?
Later, Berger said. After they stopped, I heard doors opening. Somebody was talking, but speaking too low for me to hear what they said. I pounded on the door, but they ignored me.
He gave Kluger a sharp look.
I thought it must be you.
It wasn't, Kluger said.
He motioned Berger into the hall. When he joined him, he gestured with the pistol towards Hiltruder's body.
The Baroness is dead. So are Herlinda and Haimo. I think Hartmann and the Baron killed them. They tried to keep the demon from possessing their children so they'd save their own skins. They were too late. I found both of them dead down in the dungeons. They tried to escape, but the demon was already inside Liebgarde and chased them down.
Berger's face turned pale. He shook his head, staggered by the horror of what he was being told.
We're dying like flies, he muttered. None of us will make it out of here alive.
You'll escape, Kluger snarled.
He pulled Berger with him towards Magda's room. When he opened the door, Magda leapt forwards rather than back. She held a candlestick. Only Kluger's quick action kept her from braining him with the improvised weapon, darting aside as she brought it whipping down. Magda dropped the bludgeon in horror at what she'd almost done.
I didn't know, she cried. I didn't know who was out here. The screams.
Kluger nodded and took her into his arms.
It'll be all right, he assured her.
He found the words hard to say. So much had already gone wrong. Life would never be the same again. All that remained was to try and save what was left.
The screams, what were they?
Kluger quickly told Magda what had happened, though he left out the real reason he'd been in the dungeons. When he finished, he explained what he needed her to do.
You have to get out of the castle. The demon has taken Thilo as its next host, I'm certain of that. I don't think it'll be content to simply claim the victims Count Wulfsig designated for it. It knows I can fight it, that Thilo will be its final host. It'll not abandon his body as readily as it did the others. It'll try to use him to slaughter anyone it can reach, because it knows it'll be its last chance to kill.
How can we get out? Magda asked.
You'll go with Berger, Kluger said. He has seen for himself how the first four rooms in the dungeons work. I followed his instructions and was able to reach the landing where the demon killed the Baron. Follow him. Do what he says, and you'll make it through.
He turned and faced Berger.
There is a fifth room, at least. I saw it when I found Rold. There must be some mechanism there, something he had some warning of, but wasn't able to get past. If the way had been clear, I don't think the demon would have caught him.
Berger nodded, a grave look on his face.
At least one more, he mused.
It would be an interesting puzzle if our lives weren't being wagered on the solution.
If we stay here, we're just as dead,
Magda said. Alarm suddenly filled her eyes. She grabbed Kluger's hand.
My mother! We can't leave without her.
Kluger's expression was sombre.
I've already looked for her. Before I came here to release you both, I couldn't find her.
Magda frowned.
Then I can't go. I won't leave her behind. Please, I've already lost my father.
The worry and agony in Magda's face stabbed at Kluger like a knife. He almost choked on the words that came off his tongue. I'll look for her. But I need you to go with Birnga. I need to know that you are safe.
He took her by the shoulders and drew her close, his lips pressed against her mouth.
There is nothing I wouldn't do to protect you. Believe that. I'll stay and look for her. I'll fight the demon and keep you safe from it.
Magda's body was shaking. Kluger could feel her tears against his neck.